This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Today on the Breakfast Grill, I am talking to Mohammed Azmi Zulkifli, the Chief Executive of InvestKL, which is the government agency mandated to drive investments and interest into Greater KL to spur jobs and trade. Azmi, a very warm congratulations on the role. It's a good thing that InvestKL is promoted from within the organisation, where previously, of course, you were Investment Director overseeing Europe. So you will be aware of all the opportunities and of the challenges of the role. So let's kick off by asking you how you're settling into the new role and what is the situation report in terms of attracting investment to KL?
Thank you, Chuang. In coming into this position, yes, I would have a bit of a runway with similarities as well as activities where investments are concerned. It is clearly a steep learning curve for me to take up a larger role as the CEO of InvestKL, but the team have been fantastic. The team is intact and we continue to drive our activities as a way forward with regards to focusing on attracting large investments from MNCs, looking at unicorns as well as fast-growing companies in that space as well. We are seeing a strong momentum with regards to the activities as well as creating regional hubs in Kuala Lumpur. We started 2020 with a very strong funnel of activities and companies. And of course, everybody knows what has happened since then. But the interest that have been built up from 2019 have been interesting, have been quite diverse in terms of countries as well as industries. And this is where we are cautiously optimistic about continuing with the investments activities as well as the niche focus to attract companies to set up their regional hub in Kuala Lumpur.
So, Azmi, obviously, there could have been potentially two changes in business plan since your ascension to the role. One, obviously, when you came in to replace your predecessor, Dato' Zainal Aman Shah, who did spend the full eight-year term with InvestKL. Once then, presumably, and then, of course, once now, where the COVID virus has altered the global business landscape irreparably and with some scar tissue, clearly. Tell me whether I'm right or wrong in saying that the business plan has changed at least once in the last 1 year.
Exactly. This is where a number of activities that we have learned in the past 8 years, the case studies, the kinds of support that we have given to MNCs are building up our resources as well as our experiences in these particular areas. Taking from that note, moving forward, that's where I think we have been able to be more agile, adaptive to the current situation. The pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic has clearly put us in a position where we wanted to look at what can we do differently, how have the game changed, or how have even the climate around us have changed so that we can adapt quickly to it. Clearly, the business plan with regards to go-to-market activities and strategies using a lot more of the digital space where we want to talk to potential investors, engagements with the key stakeholders are continuing, but it may be in a different mode and a different manner. The most important part about the current situation is the urgency to secure investments. And this has to be in line with regards to also about creating jobs. These are some of the key issues that needs to be addressed in the current pandemic situation and how InvestKL can create value and offer something in this particular aspect with regards to creation of jobs as well as focusing on our niche to create the regional hub opportunities. This regional hub opportunities continues to be something that we may term it as an upstream activity. An upstream activity is key and critical simply because this is where a number of initiatives, discussions, as well as research of a company done at that particular level. And when that goes down into further studies perhaps or even execution of the business, then it moves on to the midstream as well as the downstream. So continuing to focus on regional hubs opportunities in the upstream areas are continuing to be important and will be our drive towards the future.
Okay, let's put some meat on that wireframe you've just discussed, Azmi. Since inception in 2011, I think you've attracted 91 multinationals to invest in Greater KL, of which over a quarter, actually, 23 of them have come from the United States, clearly. How does that narrative to the United States alter? And I just want to reference as well this United States ambassador and Kamala Lakdia's comments about Malaysia being a little bit uncertain by way of policies and as well as lacking certain media freedoms, which might, in fact, not even might, have hampered Malaysia's FDI efforts within a very competitive ASEAN region.
Yes, you are right. With regards to the activities, we closed the 2019 year with attracting 91 multinationals into Kuala Lumpur. And as mentioned, more than 20 or 23 of them are from Americas. Continuing with that discussion, these are the niche areas where investments continue to be explored and continue to be emphasized in that manner. In our efforts to attract high-value, high-tech and high-impact investments, and this is where companies continue to look at the availabilities of areas where Kuala Lumpur can create that niche part. We note the comments made by the ambassador. These are areas that is continuing to be evolved with regards to the discussion. When companies come in and look at a site selection location, perhaps, that's where a number of variables are on the table. And the ones that you mentioned are clearly variables on the table as well. These are certain areas where at the particular area where we can address it or particular areas where we can continue to discuss with the stakeholders what can be done to further improve these particular areas. That is the continuous feedback and process that we are working with MNCs and clearly with all the high commissioners and ambassadors that are based in Kuala Lumpur, asking and getting their feedback and looking at how we can funnel those feedback back to the relevant stakeholders, areas where we can continue to improve upon and so on. We are making good progress in terms of certain variables or certain activities. For example, the comparison on the world competitive city. In areas where we are looking at ease of doing business, Malaysia continues to improve in that stride along those lines with certain variables. However, we are not just stopping in that particular area. We are continuing to look at where are the areas where we can continue to improve on these activities, the world competitive city and the ease of doing business landscape. And these are some of the areas that we continue to work with the stakeholders to see how we can create that right climate, create that good ecosystem of activities among small, medium businesses, as well as creating a large pool of professional talent, whether it's being local or even expatriates, to be available in Kuala Lumpur and the activities for the future.
Azmi, some of the pushbacks by the American ambassador and by default the US government, the structural issues seem to be primary ones, which InvestKL might not be able to, or equipped to address. Some of this, of course, reflects, in fact, the unelected government that we've got in charge, which is then filters down to the policy uncertainty with regard to, you know, very, very important critical verticals, which include the National Auto Plan, which lacks sufficient clarity, many times delayed, at least twice or maybe three times. And of course, the SME sector, which is highly beleaguered by the COVID and yet to see significant and direct financial injection from the Malaysian government, potentially because of the financial constraints and the policy uncertainty that come from a parliament, which might yet be divided. These seem to be hurdles which InvestKL is either not equipped to address or is unable to equip to invest address because of your stakeholders.
Interesting points, Chong. Clearly, there are always two sides to every story. In the points that were mentioned just now, yes, in some areas, we are not able to address it directly. But this is where the continuing engagement with the right stakeholders to look at areas where we can improve upon and to also look at what we can do to improve on these particular points and activities. From that perspective, this is where we are seeing that at the end of the day, from a business landscape standpoint, Malaysia and Kuala Lumpur specifically continues to provide that predictability on business. Policies have remained consistent, focusing on number of activities such as the Industry 4.0 initiative that was launched in 2018, the drive towards automation and robotics, and the activities where it's about creation of jobs in the current pandemic situation. So these are all clear activities that's been mentioned. From the COVID as well, we have seen the launch of the Prihatin and Penjana initiatives. And that's where it's again wanting to stimulate and ensure that the right support is going to the right type of companies, small, medium businesses clearly, and Malaysian companies in that respect. At the same time, wanting them to also to ensure that they continue to maintain jobs and to create jobs as a way forward. The full integration of these activities led by the ministry that we are under, Ministry of International Trade and Industry, is to take that holistic approach about what we can do to really stimulate the activities as a way forward. For InvestKL specific, our focus is from that perspective to look at what we can do from an area of protect, retain and attract. This is reflecting on the activities that have happened before the COVID situation, in the current COVID situation or the MCO that we're going through, and beyond that as well. To us, protect is important. We need to protect the current investments in Kuala Lumpur and Malaysia, and that would lead to also retaining their investments as well as growing to the investments for future investments. And retaining investments okay. will also be about creating and retaining jobs. And from those two activities about protect and retain, that's where we see is how we can continue to attract the right type of investments okay. by taking care of the current investments here in Kuala Lumpur and Malaysia.
Okay. We are talking this morning to Mohamad Azmi Zulkifli, the Chief Executive of InvestKL. We'll come back after this, Azmi, and discuss greater geopolitical issues, as well as your two biggest potential targets, the Chinese and the American governments, and the corporations, which might then spur more investment in Greater KL. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
I'm talking this morning to Mohamad Azmi Zulkifli, the Chief Executive of InvestKL, which is the agency mandated to drive interest and investment into Greater Kuala Lumpur. Now, Azmi, obviously, the Chinese subcontinent, if you like, has been very much in the centre of focus with its decoupling from the Americas and the trade impasse that's been happening between the two countries. And of course, the much touted and much reported redirection of interest and investment into the ASEAN region. Vietnam has been a big beneficiary. The Philippines has been a big beneficiary. And obviously, the Indonesians has been a big beneficiary. You have come in to the job on the back of what is the worst depression since 1929, Azmi. What is your target in terms of new investees into Greater KL for 2021? Let's put some details on your messaging so far.
Sure. That's quite an interesting situation here. Yeah, we are maybe in a depression, but the stock markets are doing very well, right? So that's where a bit of optimism is there as we see it. Before the COVID situation, the issues on the table are the US-China trade tension. And we are seeing perhaps an even an escalation of the situation. What's most important is companies are really seriously relooking at how they are doing things as a way forward. It's not about putting all the eggs in one basket anymore. It's also about how can they move forward with those activities. During the COVID situation, perhaps one area has kept on continuously coming up, which is regionalizing a supply chain. This is where an opportunity would and could be created within the Southeast Asia region about how each country can play to their strength and their role. Activities where it involves a bit more labor intensive it makes sense to go to other areas except for Malaysia. This is where Malaysia will continue to drive upon the Industry 4.0 initiative that would focus on automation and robotics, not just for large companies, but also for small, medium businesses.
So
and
to put some,
the government has been very clear about it, to introduce specific steps, evaluation, assessment, as well as consulting to bring companies up the value chain in terms of this.
So to get specific about 2021, which companies are in the funnel, Azmi, to satisfy Greta Kale's aspirations into Industry 4.0, as you have mentioned in your narrative? How many can we expect in 2021, realistically?
In 2020, we are cautiously optimistic of meeting our KPI, which will bring our cumulative investments attraction into Kuala Lumpur to over 100 companies.
So you're saying that by 2020, you'll have another 9 more confirmed in Malaysia, in KL?
There are a healthy pipeline of companies that we are continuously engaging and speaking to them while finalizing the plans as a way forward. Some of the companies have even gone ahead to just hire people virtually through all the video conferencing facilities that's available. And this is where we wanted to see, and we have seen the momentum carrying forward with regards to these activities moving up. The three clear FDI trends that we are seeing are, number one, companies are looking at dual hub concepts today, having a hub in a particular location and also having a hub in Kuala Lumpur where they would have a lot more activities in terms of sophistication as well as substance of the activity. The investment in digital is clearly accelerated across the landscape, and this is very encouraging because Malaysia can provide that stability with regards to these activities from an infrastructure perspective as well. The third trend that we are seeing is large and small companies are continuing with their agenda on technology. And this technology is being explored and being invested upon as a way forward for companies to differentiate themselves in terms of what they offer in the market, also in terms of what they can offer in terms of value to their business-to-business activities as well.
Okay.
So these are the three trends that we are seeing very strongly today.
Okay. We are talking this morning to Mohammad Azmi Zulkifli, the Chief Executive of InvestKL, mandated to drive interest and investment into the greater Kuala Lumpur region. Now, I just want to get some details and specifics into the narrative that you've been offering the last 15 minutes, Azmi. So does that mean by the end of 2020, we will have 9 concrete funded investments in Greater Kuala Lumpur, which you will then announce within the next 4 months, 4.5 months, before the end of the year?
These investments are in the final. We are continuing to engage them and continuing to have a number of discussions to ensure the soft landing of these companies. Yes, we are cautiously optimistic of achieving or maybe even exceeding our KPI for 2020 and continue to build on that momentum towards 2021 as well.
In terms of going beyond the regional hub messaging and narrative, which has been in place for some years now, I think the nature of hubs is that they don't tend to be extremely high technology in nature. They tend to be serving functions like administration, accounting, finance, HR, recruitment, sales to some extent, and support to a greater degree. When do you think we might get to the point where Tesla might consider putting in a gigafactory into Selangor, for example, or the greater KL region to produce vehicles, electric vehicles, on a mass basis for the ASEAN region? When does that utopia ever become a reality, if it does?
And this is where I think we need to also correct certain perception here. We started the activities on a transactional basis back in the 90s. And in the past 10 years especially, we have seen companies going up the value chain in terms of their hub activities. Today, companies are doing robotic process automation, doing big data and analytics, And most importantly, key decision makers are here and making decisions for the region. So it has clearly moved away from doing transactional traditional activities into this kind of high value, high tech and high impact services to the economy. From that particular point as well, we are continuously exploring and looking at what more can be done with certain companies as a way forward. It does not necessarily mean that the large companies will be there in terms of their activities, but most importantly also, around a large company, there are many, many sizable companies, foreign, that has also been a key figure as well as a key technology partner to the larger companies. So these are the ones that we are seeing, that we are continuing to attract, that has a lot of opportunities with regards to how they want to do things and the kind of activities that they want to move up the value chain from that perspective. So again, the perception is the value chain have moved. We have gone ahead in terms of moving away from traditional activities with regards to transaction, but more towards big data, analytics, decision-making, supply chain procurement type of activities as a regional hub of choice in the region.
Yeah, as you have described, business processes which have gone up the value chain, but they don't necessarily have the same kind of jobs impact as a factory with 20,000 workers might have, for example, in manufacturing. Is that an overt decision that you made in terms of the kind of investees you're seeking, Azmi, or is it not?
Kuala Lumpur has to focus on the niche and what we are good at. Clearly, this is not a place to station or even to set up a large installment of manufacturing because of the land matters and so on. And that's where Kuala Lumpur will continue to drive towards having higher value activities in the services sector. When we're talking about that, it's also about creating high value jobs. Yeah? And a monthly income of a person in a regional hub will probably be in a ratio of 1 to 4 compared to a person working in a manufacturing line. So that's a very big differentiation of those activities. And we are continuing to also look at the trend where when regional hubs are set up here, over a certain period of years, for example, 1 to 3 years and so on, they continue to nationalize or even regionalize the workforce in a particular location. So it's moving away from the expatriate reliance in a particular hub to creating jobs for Malaysians. And the most interesting trend for us is more and more Malaysians in these regional hubs are being posted worldwide. That really simplifies or that really endorses that our Malaysian talents are good, are strong, very adaptable to MNCs, not just working from a hub in Kuala Lumpur, but they can also be posted to anywhere else required, employing and occupying senior roles in the areas where they are working, especially.
Okay. Well, thank you for your thoughts, Azmi. Good luck with the posting for the period ahead. And I do wish you the best of luck in terms of trying to attract investment in a very challenging and competitive world. Thank you for your thoughts. We were talking to Mohammad Azmi Zulkifli, the Chief Executive of InvestKL, mandated to drive interest and investment into Greater Kuala Lumpur, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.